Our text for this morning is taken from the 34th chapter of the book of the prophet Ezekiel, beginning with the 11th verse. "For thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys, and in all the inhabited places of the country." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. This is one of the most comforting pictures in all of Scripture, that of the Good Shepherd and his sheep, and there is so much imagery connected with it. This beautiful chapter in Ezekiel 34 is often referred to as the Old Testament Good Shepherd chapter, and John 10 in the New Testament, that of where Jesus says, "I am the Good Shepherd," so clearly shows the connection between the two Testaments. And it continues to be one of the most comforting images that believers have of their relationship to Christ and of his care for them. Let us note some things specifically here today. Notice how carefully it is noted for us in the text how this shepherd seeks out the sheep that belong to him. The sheep that already belong to him. When a new lamb is born into a flock, if you've ever seen a brand new lamb struggling to get on its feet and walk and so on, that lamb already belongs to the flock. And in ancient days, when they had a shepherd that would tend for that flock, even before that lamb realized that it was part of the flock, and more than likely that's how it has been for most of us. From infancy, even before we could describe who this good shepherd was, we were already made a part of his flock in the waters of baptism. Notice that the sheep don't find the shepherd. He goes out and finds them, and he has to seek for them. The action in all of this is entirely in the hands of the shepherd. It's not in the sheep. He says, "I myself will search for my sheep." Just in this chapter alone, there are 20 references where the words are connected. My sheep, my flock, my sheep, my flock. How closely our Lord identifies with those who belong to him. And even here, when he says, "I myself will search for the sheep," it's a Hebrew expression to underline, if you will, his activity, and that he alone is the one doing this. And we can see how possessive our Lord is for those who belong to him and those who are members of his flock. And we have some great examples of how he goes out and seeks out these lost sheep and finds them, and how he is so in tune to who they are and where they are, even when they are in some very obscure places. We see this frequently in our Lord's earthly ministry, finding one of them up in a sycamore tree, finding another one about to be stoned to death in the middle of a street, finding another one hanging on a cross in his execution, another one being lowered into a room on his sleeping bag, another one putting gifts in the alms box outside of the temple in Jerusalem. The shepherd spots his sheep among all of the people of the world and identifies them and seeks them out through his word. And we're told in our text that this good shepherd will deliver them from danger. The reference here is an expression about the cloudy and dark day, kind of a foreboding day, and that he goes out now to rescue them and to bring them back safely into his flock. Notice again how intimately our good shepherd identifies with his sheep and with their welfare and their condition, wanting to make sure that they are okay and in his care. He's not oblivious to that. And he can identify individual sheep in his care. They claim that some shepherds are able to know their flock so well that they've even given them names, and sometimes they know them by little marks on their ears or things in their wool or a limp that they may have or whatever. How closely our Lord identifies with the members of his flock and how well he knows them. And his intimate knowledge of his sheep means that he's aware of their weaknesses, and he's aware of the things that trouble them in life. He's aware of, of the problems that they have to go through. He knows each one of us, the things on a spiritual level that bother us. He knows the areas where we are the most easily tempted. He knows the points in my life where the devil has the greatest opportunity and the best chance of pulling me off to the cliffs of danger. Our Lord knows these things about his sheep. And so this intimate knowledge of wanting to be taken care of and wanting to take care of the sheep and keep them away from danger is such an essential part of our Lord's work. And we see this reflected today even in the office of the public ministry, where there are shepherds under Christ who take care of his flock in various congregations. The pastor is often described this way. I remember one of our pastors put it this way, and I love this description of the ministry. God wanted to make sure there was someone lying awake at night concerned about your soul. That's a great way to think about the work of a pastor. God wanted to make sure that if it needed to be, there was someone lying awake at night concerned about your soul. And I'll tell you, as a parish pastor for 20 years, that is very true. And my wife can attest to that too. The pastor's primary concern is spiritual. Certainly we care about people's physical needs and things too, but it's the spiritual problems. The times when one of the sheep might have wandered off into something sinful and they don't care about it anymore, or drifted into a false teaching, and they haven't recognized that, and it's dangerous for them. This is the number one concern of the shepherd, and certainly of the good shepherd. When we think about the shepherd's staff up here today, the hook at the top is symbolic of my stubborn, sinful, ignorant heart, if you think about it. That says the sheep have a tendency to get away from the shepherd. That says that the sheep are foolish enough to not realize when they're in trouble. That says that the sheep are stubborn enough to think that they can wander away from the shepherd and be okay when they're not. And so our Lord, through his word, and even through the office of the public ministry, seeks out those sheep and pulls them back to his side. And all of us at various points in our life, regarding various sins or whatever it is, have felt the tug of that staff on our neck. And the time may come for you and me in the future when we need to be rescued out of something that's kind of dangerous. Maybe something that we've fallen into and think is fine and we've embraced and we're unaware of how the devil could control us. And there may be a time when our shepherds have to come and give us a tug on the neck to bring us back to Christ. Maybe even right now in your life, maybe just over the weekend, something has been happening in your life that your own conscience is well aware. When you hear the voice of your good shepherd, how far you've wandered away from him. Well, listen to his loving voice today, calling you back. Return to the flock. Repent. Come back to the gracious green pastures of my grace and forgiveness, and be refreshed at the chalice of his Holy Supper. Your Lord, your good shepherd, will never tell you to do something that will hurt you. Isn't that comforting? It's kind of how I felt about my parents. I knew that my parents would never tell me something that would hurt me, even if I disagreed with it. Even if I thought that maybe I knew better. That's a comforting thing for us to know about our Savior. He will never, ever, in his word, guide and direct you in a way that will harm you. It will always be with your best interest in mind. And we're told, he says, I will bring them to their own land. Notice that about heaven. We already belong there. It's not some future place that has nothing to do with us. We belong there because of Christ and because of the faith he's worked in our heart. I will bring them to their own land. You already possess it now by faith. You just haven't seen it. To be fed, he says, on the great mountains of Israel. Where the shepherd belongs, there the flock belongs, and there the individual sheep belongs. Our Lord Jesus, in his glorious resurrection, has already wandered through the difficult valley of the shadow of death, the one that's lurking out ahead in your future. And he knows, and he alone knows, the right path to get through that to the pastures of heaven. So listen to him, hear his voice, follow him and stay with his flock. Amen. Let us rise for prayer. Today we have a special prayer request on behalf of one of our Bethany College alums, Elizabeth Tigan. She is the daughter of Pastor Tom Rank, who presently teaches here, and also the sister of Katie Rank. And Elizabeth is presently hospitalized in Rochester. She is 30 weeks along in her pregnancy and experiencing some complications. And let us keep her today in our prayers. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you have graciously invited us to call upon you in the day of trouble. We come before your throne on behalf of this young couple and their unborn child. We thank you for permitting us to live in a time when so many advancements have been made in prenatal care. Grant wisdom and ability to those who now provide Elizabeth with that care. If it is your will, grant her a safe labor and delivery of this child, as she and her husband Nick look forward to the sacrament of holy baptism. Give them a firm confidence in you and your gracious promises, which you have given us through your Son, our Good Shepherd, through whom we come before you. Amen.